Yes, indeed. But Andy Lind is taking this beautiful weekend off, and Luke Panik got the call from Andy, and Luke filling in today. Luke, if you're not familiar with Luke, he's the deck and porch specialist, among other things, with Lindis Construction. Luke, good to hear from you. I know he's there. There he is. Hi, Luke.
Can you hear me now?
No, I can. Yes. The magic of live radio. Yes, I can hear you just fine. And I mentioned, as we have for so many years, when you've made an appearance here in the show, Luke, that you're the deck and porch specialist at Lindis. But I know you, and you do a whole lot more than that, don't you?
I do. I've been blessed with a lot of different experiences in construction, and can usually answer just about any sort of construction question.
Yeah, absolutely. However, if you do have a deck question today, any kind of a deck question, or porch for that matter, or any kind of a home improvement question, by all means, call us or text us 651-461-9226. Any home improvement question, again, especially if you have a question about decks or decking. He knows his stuff, among other things. He's built his own home and all that stuff. But you know what I wanted to do while we're waiting for folks to call or text Luke? You were telling me about a story that I think our listeners should really hear about. I call it a horror story, basically about an unlicensed carpenter that this person wanted to get a finished basement. Why don't you tell the whole story? Because I think people would and should hear about this.
Is important, and it is avoidable too if people do their homework to avoid horror stories in construction. They're very prevalent, and this particular customer had bought a new house. This was in Inver Grove Heights, and they wanted to finish the basement, and so they called us, and I didn't know why we were going there, but once I got there, it was quite a surprise. She had hired a carpenter to come and completely finish off the basement. And it was and the first clue that she should have had, when a carpenter says that he's going to do it all, he's going to do the plumbing, he's going to do the electrical, he's going to do the HVAC work all himself, that's the first red flag. So I want people to understand that when they hire a carpenter, or a general contractor for that matter, they have to bring in the only part of the work they can do is the carpentry-related skills. So that's, you know, that's framing, that's millwork, that's sheetrock, painting, things like that. As soon as you involve the mechanicals, plumbing, electrical, and HVAC, all of those have to be done by a licensed plumber, a licensed, state-licensed electrician, and a licensed HVAC company. And the reason is it's for safety. When you apply for a permit, you'll include the license of the plumber, the license of the electrician, the license of the HVAC company, and she would have known this had she taken a look at the permit, and it turns out there was no permit. He didn't get a permit, and so that's why this never got caught, and he had done a bunch of the framing, done a bunch of the plumbing, done a bunch of the HVAC work and the electrical work, and then he quit and took a different job and left her with a bunch of tools in the basement and an unfinished project. And she'd given him half of the money up front, and now he's gone. And so now she called Lindis to come out and take a look at the project. She's involved the Department of Labor. She's definitely going to be upside down on the project. And it's a scary mess, and it's very stressful and sad to see people have to deal with this after the fact. So, moral of the story is, number one, you can always check a contractor's license. He did not have one. He had one, and then it expired, and while he was doing the project, he did not have a license. So, of course, if he would have tried to get a permit, it would have failed. Mm-hmm. So, number one, you could check with the Department of Labor and see if the license is in good shape. And two, anytime any sort of sub is going to get involved, a plumber, electrician, or HVAC, that person also needs to be licensed in what they do. A homeowner can do these projects for their own home, but you can't do these projects for other people if you're not licensed. I always say, like, a surgeon can operate on his own knee, but he can't operate on yours, Denny, unless he's got a license. And that's the same thing with plumbing, electrical, and HVAC. So word to the wise, do your homework, especially on these are big projects and a lot of money exchanging hands, and you need to make sure you vet that company well to avoid this.
And, Luke, how much money did this homeowner lose because of this?
Well, she gave the guy $20,000 on a project that she was told was going to cost $40,000. The project is going to cost significantly more than that. So I'm sure that she was tempted because the price seemed so good. It seemed like, wow, this is a great deal. I mean, this giant project done for this kind of number. Wow, this seems too good to be true, and guess what?
Yes, exactly what the result. So the guy left his tools. Yeah. He took the 20 grand. He could probably buy a lot of tools with that.
Yeah, well, he did do a lot of work. I don't want to say that he didn't do anything.
Okay.
He did a lot of the work and left the tools and everything. So I don't know, and I don't want to judge this person or what happened in their life either. But it just when you hire a guy by himself that doesn't have a team of people, if he quits, there's no one there to replace him or support him. So that's the risk in hiring a one-man band, and it's a good price and you're excited, but you're involving yourself in a lot of risk. Because that's the risk in hiring a one-man band, and it's a good price and you're excited, but you're involving yourself in a lot of risk. Because something happens to that one person, the party is over. At the other extreme, and this isn't to pat our horns, but if we have a carpenter that can't do his job anymore for whatever reason, we've got another 110 carpenters to fill his shoes. So there's less risk when you hire an established company just for that reason. Not to say that our carpenters are better than any other. But it doesn't mean he's a bad carpenter. It means, you know, life happens and things happen, and that's the risk you take. So
do your research.
Too bad. I really
could. Yeah. That's a sad story. If you have any kind of home improvement question, by all means, for Luke, as I said, especially if it's around decks or decking, 651-461-9226. You know, before we break, Luke, Rolf in Duluth is calling in with a question. Rolf, good morning. What is your question for Luke?
Good morning. Well, I'm sorry it doesn't have to do with a deck. I have a tucked under garage with a living room and dining room on top of it. And when we bought the house, and it still has the same insulation in the ceiling of the tuck under garage, it's a tacked up roll, you know, batted up fiberglass with tar paper or something on the outside. And I'm just wondering if that's the best way to insulate for a tuck under garage.
No. Nowadays, we can insulate it much, much, much better. And I'm sure it's hard to heat that room up there because it's over the garage. And what we would do, or I would recommend, is spray foaming that with a urethane foam. You take out all that fiberglass and whatever. I don't know if there's any ductwork or anything running under there, but you can insulate that much, much better and spray foam that. And then sheetrock the ceiling. You have to cover that spray foam, but you'll create, you can almost double the performance, almost maybe even triple the performance of that fiberglass that's there with the urethane foam. So that's how I would update that with today's technology.
All right, very good. Hang on, Luke. We're going to take a quick break. In the meantime, let's invite our listeners to join in. Any kind of a home improvement question, if you have one specifically about decks, decking, porches, things like that, that's great too. But any kind of a home improvement question for Luke will be welcome at 651-461-9226. Well, we've moved up temperature-wise, 52 now in the Twin Cities, on our way to near 79, a breezy day today. We should have a nice Sunday tomorrow, too. We'll get up to near 72. Again, right now in the Twin Cities, it is 52 degrees from News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our home improvement show. Denny Long here. Andy Lindis taking the day off. Luke Panic, the deck and porch specialist, among other things, with the Lindis Construction, answering any kind of a question you might have. And I mean any kind of home improvement question, but especially if you have a question about decks, decking, porches, things like that. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Here's another one you've heard before, Luke. Which stain would you recommend to restain a 7-year-old deck?
Good question. Step one is the prep. As you know, Danny, we got to get that old stain off. Sanding it is the best, not the easiest. But that's the prep we need to do. And then if you can find Pennafin, it's getting harder to find.
Is it?
I don't know why stores don't. Yeah, it is. It's getting harder to find. I was in Baldwin the other day at the Ace Hardware, and they had it out on table, all discounted down. They're not going to carry it anymore. I don't know why, but that's a good product. I've had good success with it. And then most recently, one that is available at a lot of places is the Australian Timber Oil made by Cabot. So the regular Cabots I haven't been a fan of, but this Timber Oil I now, and if you recall, I put it on a deck that I sanded off on a cabin up north of Grand Rapids, and I sanded off an oak-treated deck. It must have been 20 years old. And I sunk all the nails down an eighth of an inch and sanded it down. And I put that Cabot's Australian Timber Oil that I was able to buy at the hardware store in Grand Rapids. And I'll tell you that it's about year three or four. And it really looks good. It really looks good. It's held. None of it is flaked off. It's held up really, really good. So that's a product I can say that I've used, and it's worked really well. It comes in, you know, a variety of different colors. I used a semi-trans, so you could still see the wood grain through it. You know, it's opaque or transparent. I'm sorry, you can see through it. And it was easy to work with. It dried pretty fast. So I'm very happy with it. So I would give that a try. It's available at most stores too. It's easy to get your hands on, but it needs to be the Australian Timber Oil. I think it has a better oil in it than regular linseed oil. So that'd be my suggestion.
I know that when you've been on the show along with Andy, and we would be talking about different types of stain, Penofin, the main one. But Andy has also mentioned Sickens. Is that a pretty good product yet?
It's an expensive product. I know that. I have used it. I've used it as a like to preserve log buildings to give that natural wood look on the outside. I haven't personally used it on a deck floor as a floor finish. I'm sure that Sickens is a quality product. I can't speak on it. I haven't used it as a floor to put on an actual floor because I've always used the Penofin or now this. But maybe Andy's used it. Maybe he's put it on a floor somewhere. I don't know.
I can't remember. But backing up what you said to this listener about recommending to restain that deck is to use a prep. What kind of preparation chemical should this person use first?
Well, there's brighteners, cleaners you can use. You know, those, if it's not too bad, if it just needs to be cleaned up and get the mold and the mildew and the pollen off of it, that may all that needs to be done. And that could be as simple as mixing up, you know, you buy this stuff, it's either pre-mixed or in a powder, put it in your little backyard garden pump sprayer, and usually you wet the surface down with water, and then you put this chemical on, you let it sit, maybe agitate it, scrub it around with a broom a little bit, and then off. And oftentimes that's all that needs to be done. If there's old product on there, if there's old solid stain on there that's present, it needs to come off. It's got to come off either by a chemical strip or sanding. So,
like you said, sanding is really, I guess, what would you call it, the gold standard of preparation?
It is.
It's a lot of work, but it really is.
It guarantees that you're going to get great penetration with the product into the wood fiber because it opens up the fiber. It opens up the cells in the wood. And you get rid of all those little black stains and stuff that nails and get fastness and, you know, pine needles, all that stuff leaves stains and tannins. You can get rid of all that, and it really is the best. I mean, you can make a deck look dang near brand new if you do
that.
So
absolutely.
And you get a very even coat, very, very satisfying when you're done. You know, your back is a little more sore, but your chiropractor is going to appreciate the extra business, but it really looks good.
Yep. Couple of listeners joined in on the conversation, what you mentioned about the Cabot Australian Oil. The listener says, we love it. It works great. So that was a listener comment. Also, another listener just sent a text saying, just for your information, they found Penofin online at Amazon. Comes from Mike in Maple Grove.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So okay, that good. Will,
yeah. Just another avenue. All right. If you have a home improvement question, could be about decks, doesn't have to be, can be about anything. Any home improvement question at 651-461-9226. If you're just joining us, Luke Panic, the deck and port specialist with Linda's Construction, filling in for Andy Lindis today. Kathy has sent this text in, Luke, what is the best way to clean in place screens on a screened porch?
Well, sounds like they're not. I think she's saying they don't remove. So they're
sounds like it. Yeah,
got to stay put. Yeah. What I would do first is I would grab my shop vac with the brush attachment, and I would vacuum it with that brush, and just kind of that seems to work good. I know that when I've created a lot of sawdust and forgot to let the screen in there, and the screen gets full of sawdust, it works really well to vacuum them with the attachment of your brush. I don't know of another way to do it how would you wash it? If they're not removable, how do you wash them? I don't know. I would just vacuum them, I guess.
You know what? I just had a thought. I've done it not with, because I don't have that kind of a situation here, but I've had removable screens and not a high pressure, but I've used a leaf blower on one side and then your idea of the shop vac with the brush on the other. Just a thought.
I believe that. Yeah, that would work.
All right. Hang on, Luke. We're going to take a break for that beautiful forecast for this weekend. We'll see what the coming week's weather looks like as well. We'll have about another half hour of the show to go. So any kind of a home improvement question, as I mentioned, especially if you have a question about decks, decking, porches, for Luke, call us or text us 651-461-9226. From 52. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show, brought to us every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour by our friends at Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. You want to get in touch with those good folks? Call them this coming week, 844-9-LINDUS. Andy taking the day off today. Luke Panik, our friend who is the deck and porch specialist from Lindus, answering any kind of a home improvement question you may have today, especially if it's about decks, decking, porches. Luke, we have callers and we have texters, so let's put you back to work here. I believe Kurt, first up here, calling from Winstead. Kurt, good morning. What is your question for Luke?
Yes, sir. Good morning. I have a cedar deck. Last year I sanded it clean from the finish. I put Australian gold on it last fall. And over the winter, because we use the deck year-round and I shovel it, the wood's almost bare again. I must have done something wrong.
Well, not necessarily. How old is the cedar, Kurt?
It's about 4 years.
Oh, wow, relatively new. I don't know. I would just recoat it again. You said you used the Australian timber oil?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I would just give it another coat. What can happen, depending on the dryness of the wood, it can really soak in and penetrate in, and it may just need another coat until it's kind of saturated. So I wouldn't panic, so to speak. Go ahead and put another coat on it. Just give it a quick clean and put another coat on it of the same color and see how it turns out.
Okay, I was worried I was going to have to sand it again.
No, as long as you're going to use the same color, Kurt, just clean it. Clean the surface, just with hex soap and water. Just get it clean and let it dry and put another coat on. Let that penetrate in and look at it again. Oftentimes I haven't done a cedar deck in a while, but when we do a new cedar deck, I would always tell people to do that first coat at the beginning of the summer. Go ahead and do a second coat right before we go into fall when it's very, very new wood. And yours is pretty new, so don't fret. Just go ahead and put another coat on it.
All right, very good. Good luck, Kurt, with that. I was going to ask you about this Cabot Australian oil. Is the application like Penofin in that you kind of put it on heavy and make sure you wipe it up?
No, it doesn't require that. I would say no. It goes on like a traditional stain. That put on and wipe up the excess is very specific to Penofin.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why or what's special about it. I mean, you want to put it on. You don't want to put on too heavy of a coat at a time. I mean, you want to put on two thin coats rather than than a heavy, too much at one time. But it's very common that, when you get wood, it may have, you buy wood from the lumberyard,
it may have been there for 2 weeks, or that wood may have been there for 2 years. You know, you just don't know. And so when you go and put on the product, the moisture content of that wood is going to determine how much it wicks and soaks it in. So in this case, Kurt, you know, it might have been very dry, and it just soaked right into the wood, and it's thirsty. It needs more, and that's okay. That's not a problem.
All right, very good. Yeah, the variables there. Let's grab another phone call, Luke. Tony is calling in this morning, I believe, from Maple Grove. Hi, Tony. What is your question, please?
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I have an Epay deck, and I need to find a product that I can put on there and make it look natural but stay on there.
Yes, there is a product specifically made for Epay. Epay is a Brazilian walnut, and it's super hard. For those who have never heard of Epay, it's 7 times harder than oak, and oak is really hard. So Epay needs a really fine oil, and Penafin makes a product for specifically for that. So I would try Amazon. Look for Penafin. They make a product specifically for those hardwoods. They use wood, where I think they really started was for those antique wood boats, those Chris Craft boats that were super hard. They use them for finishes like that. So it's made specifically for Epay. So check out Penafin's website and maybe do a search for dealers. I'm sure you'll have to order that. It's a unique product. Most stores aren't going to have that because Epay is not used commonly. So, or maybe like the previous caller said, Amazon would be an easy way to get
maybe.
It.
Maybe. Yeah. Good luck, Tony. Thanks. Thanks for the call. This listener via text, Luke, says this: I have a full block basement that's very dry, and I want to finish it. Should I use bat insulation with or without a vapor barrier, or use spray foam?
Well, those are two options. You could do either one. If the least, you know, in a basement, the least expensive thing to do would be the fiberglass. And yes, you put up poly after you put the fiberglass on. It does have to have a vapor barrier. There's an argument that's been going on for years about where do we put the vapor barrier on a basement wall? Do you put the poly up against the block wall and then put the fiberglass on? So you're kind of preventing the moisture from coming from the block into the fiberglass, or do you put the poly on the roof side or the warm side of the insulation? I like to put it on the warm side of the insulation because that keeps the humidity in the house and it doesn't have a chance of going through the insulation and condensating on the poly. So my preference is to put the fiberglass against the block wall and then put up the poly. You can check with the local building inspector what they want to see there, but that's an argument that's been going on for years. You can also spray foam. So spray foam would be the more costly way, but the better way. And the spray foam still requires a vapor barrier in a basement, I believe. So, again, you'd have to check with the local inspector on what he wants, but spray foam would seal it up. You'd only have to do, you know, 3 inches of spray foam at the most. When we spray foam a rim of a basement, the floor level of the basement, we put in 3 inches. So either way is fine. The foam will cost more, but will be better. Fiberglass will also work.
Okay. If you're just joining us, Lou Panic, the deck and porch specialist with Linda's Construction, is sitting in for Andy Lindis this morning. Another suggestion about cleaning those screens that folks can't remove. They use a damp sponge mop, but they caution be careful with vacuuming because it can stretch the screen. I think that's probably a good caution, right?
Sure. Yeah, I would agree.
Now, we've had a lot of comment over the last couple of weeks, actually, when Andy was talking about, and you'll probably agree, there are tons of window commercials we see on television daily, tons of them.
Yeah.
And listeners want to know what are these differences? Because obviously there's going to be a price difference. Maybe with a couple of text questions, what should we look out for? What is the difference between the windows that Linda sells and maybe some of these other replacement types? I mean, what is the installation? There's got to be a difference in installation.
There's a huge difference. And when you see, windows out there for, a couple hundred bucks a window, or get the fifth one free, that's the first clue to wonder what the heck are they doing. Nobody wants to come and work at anybody's house for free. I've never met a carpenter who wants to go to work for free, a window guy, or, nobody does. So what's going on there? The major difference is insert, or what we call a pocket replacement, is the most common replacement window application, and that's going to be very inexpensive. Because all they're doing in that case is they remove the sash of the window, they remove the stop, the interior stop, which is holding the sash in place. They order a window to fit inside the old window, put it in there, and put new stop around the inside, and done. So it's about doing a third of the work that should actually be done. So in 99% of the cases, that whole window needs to be removed, including the frame of the window, including the casing and the jamb extension on the inside, so you can get all the way to the rough opening. That's the only way that if there's any rot or moisture or any sort of problems that are around that rough opening. So if you just replace the guts of the window, you're not replacing any of that. And you're also missing all of the major air infiltration around the window. A lot of air infiltration and inefficiencies in the window are not the actual window. It's what's between the window frame and the rough opening. So if you don't do that, you're not really improving the energy efficiency either. So we do a full replacement. And you can, most companies, you tell them you want a full replacement. You want the whole window removed. You want the rough opening inspected. And then you want a brand new flashing to be put around the framing. When you put in a new window and new construction, we use a butyl waterproof flashing so that moisture can never get into your wall. And then you're bringing in a brand new window. With new construction, we use a butyl waterproof flashing so that moisture can never get into your wall. And then you're bringing in a brand new window with new trim, which includes the jamb extension, which extends the wood to be flush with the sheetrock on the inside, and then new casing all the way around the outside. And all of that needs to be finished, stained, varnished, all of that, so that it's finished. And then same on the outside. You're going to have new trim around the outside. So there's a lot that goes into a window. So when you see a shockingly good deal on a window, that's what it is. They're just taking the guts of the window and putting the guts in it. Might take 15 minutes. Might take 15 minutes. So that's the difference.
And we know, as we do, and we talk about it all the time, those Infinity by Marvin windows are just tremendous. Just tremendous.
They're exceptional. And when you have someone demonstrate or show you the difference between these windows, between just a regular vinyl window, which is what the cheap windows are, and you compare it to the Marvin Infinity product, it's really eye-opening for people when they learn the strength difference, how long they last, how structurally sound they are compared. It's a major difference. So it's a really good thing to watch in person and see. Yeah.
I hadn't planned on going off on this tangent, but if you do need windows, why don't you give Lindis a call, ask them about that. They'll come out for free and talk to you about that. 844-9-LINDIS. Just thought of that. All right, a quick break is in order, Luke, so stand by. We'll do that and come back with the remaining minutes of our home improvement show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our home improvement show. We're here every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour, thanks to Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. Call them, 844-9-LINDIS, if you're in need of maybe roofing or leaf gutter, or those new windows we were talking about. Andy Lindus taking the day off today. Luke Panik, our friend who's the deck and porch specialist with Lindus Construction, answering any kind of a home improvement question you may have, especially related to decks and decking. Boy, we've got some folks here that shot in some text messages. Let's see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave today. When trying to sand an old deck, would you rent a sanding machine or use an orbital sander or belt sander? What do you recommend?
Okay. Yes, great question. Definitely not a belt sander. They wear too aggressive and can make all kinds of deep gouges in a hurry. From personal experience, don't go that route. The big, you know, you and I have both done this. I have gone and rented the drum sanders, and it can be intimidating. You're like, oh, boy, what's going to happen? It worked great. I had a great experience with it. They provide you with the sheets of sand. And those machines, you know, there's a learning curve, of course, and they're heavy. And I think that's the important part, is that it keeps a nice, consistent sand. But it worked great for me, and it was not that difficult to do. They're heavy, like I said. You need to be able to lift around a, you know, a 40-50 pound machine, I think. But I thought it was great, and you can't get into the corners with it. It's pretty much, you know, like a lawnmower. You go down and back and down and back, but it worked really great. Just need to sink the screws and the nails, and really gave a nice finish to it. And then you'd have to use, I would use an orbital sander or a vibrator sander of some sort that just agitates around the edges, like right around the rail posts and up against, you know, the small spaces that you can't get to do those little areas. But I don't know. What do you think? How did you told me your story. You called it a mechanical bull, but I mean, you got it done, right?
I did, but I don't think, you said you had a drum sander you used, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And mine was, as I recall, and that was a long time ago, could it have been a big, like a, you know, like you see in business offices, somebody like polishing the granite floors or something with a, this was like as though it was circular. So it was almost like a random orbit, I presume.
Okay. Mine was a big belt that was, I don't know, 10 inches wide, and you put on there, and it's what the hardwood floor guys got.
Yeah, this was heavy. It was really heavy.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, it did work, and you're right. I was going to ask you, but you already answered that. How you get into those little cracks, you have to do that by hand with whatever particular hand sander you can find there, those little vibrating triangular type. All right. It is a labor of love. There's no doubt about it. We've got less than a couple of minutes to go here. Here's another one. We have a TimberTech deck with tannins from pine trees. We've tried power washing, not effective. What product would you recommend to clean that deck?
I don't know a specific brand. I would go to perhaps TimberTech's website. I presume this is an uncoated one. It's a TimberTech product that has the exposed sawdust. So there should be products to clean those that you can, I'm guessing if you look at go to the TimberTech website and look under care maintenance, there should be some suggestions there for exactly that.
Okay. Another deck question. Does shoveling damage a composite deck surface?
No, most decks are just fine with shoveling. I haven't run across any that are an issue. Would I have a razor sharp metal shovel doing that? No, I'd use a plastic shovel, but people shovel their composite decks every day. Not a big deal.
All right, I think we've got time for one more. Is there a way to refinish faded composite decking?
Nope. I've had many people tell me they painted it, and then that led to replacing it because the paint doesn't hold or stay, and it's a short-term solution. It'd be good for about a week. It just does not take or hold very well, like just like wood. So if you've got a composite that looks bad, and after you've cleaned it, you're not happy with it, it means that you need to replace it.
Quickly, Luke, we've got less than a minute to go for folks that we've been talking decks, among other things, today. What if folks want Lindis to build them a deck or, you know, come out and look for a different design? How do they do that?
Just give us a call. Go on our website, fill out an a little online form there, or give us a call. We'll set up an appointment, and one of our deck consultants, could be me, could be one of three or four other guys that we've got trained, come out and help you with your deck or your porch. So just give us a call. We'll give you free advice.
Absolutely. And it's always, that first visit is always free. They got some great ideas. Luke, always a pleasure. It was great to have you back on again. I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you, Denny. Take care, bud.
You bet. Luke Panic, the deck and porch specialist from Lindis. Enjoy the weekend. We're going to get up to near 80 today. Tomorrow, sunshine near 72. It's going to be a great weekend. Denny Long, saying thank you for your company, Dennis. Thank you.